Today is the 15th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is fantastic to be here with you. I am deeply grateful to be here in the center of this seventh month with you. I am grateful that you've shown up. I'm grateful that I have. I'm grateful that we all have. That we've shown up for each other, and that we've shown up for our own hearts and our own journey of faith. Grateful to be here. I'm delighted that we can take another step forward and that we get to do that every day. And so, let's do it. We are working our way in the New Testament through Paul's letter to the Romans, which is profound. In the Old Testament, today, 1 Chronicles chapters 19, 20, and 21. Sometime afterward, King Nahash of the Ammonites died, and his son succeeded him. David said, "I will deal loyally with Hanun, son of Nahash, for his father dealt loyally with me." So David sent messengers to console him concerning his father. When David's servants came to Hanun in the land of the Ammonites to console him, the officials of the Ammonites said to Hanun, "Do you think, because David has sent consolers to you, that he is honoring your father? Have not his servants come to you to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land?" So Hanun seized David's servants, shaved them, cut off their garments in the middle of their waists, and sent them away, and they departed. When David was told about the men, he sent messengers to them, for they felt greatly humiliated. The king said, "Remain at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return." When the Ammonites saw that they had made themselves odious to David, Hanun and the Ammonites sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire chariots and cavalry from Aram Naharaim, from Aram Maacah, and from Zobah. They hired 32,000 chariots and the king of Maacah with his army, who came and camped before Medeba. And the Ammonites were mustered from their cities and came to battle. When David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the warriors. The Ammonites came out and drew up in battle array at the entrance of the city, and the kings who had come were by themselves in the open country. When Joab saw that the line of battle was set against him both in front and in the rear, he chose some of the picked men of Israel and arrayed them against the Arameans. The rest of his troops he put in the charge of his brother Abishai, and they were arrayed against the Ammonites. He said, "If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will help you. Be strong, and let us be courageous for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good to him." So Joab and the troops who were with him advanced toward the Arameans for battle, and they fled before him. When the Ammonites saw that the Arameans fled, they likewise fled before Abishai, Joab's brother, and entered the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem. When the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they sent messengers and brought out the Arameans who were beyond the river, with Shophak, the commander of the army of Hadadezer, at their head. When David was informed, he gathered all Israel together, crossed the Jordan, came to them, and drew up his forces against them. When David set the battle in array against the Arameans, they fought with him. The Arameans fled before Israel, and David killed 7,000 Aramean charioteers and 40,000 foot soldiers, and also Shophak, the commander of their army. When the servants of Hadadezer saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and became subject to him. So the Arameans were not willing to help the Ammonites anymore. In the spring of that year, a time when kings go out to battle. Joab led out the army, ravaged the country of the Ammonites, and came and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Joab attacked Rabbah and overthrew it. David took the crown of Milcom from his head. He found that it weighed a talent of gold, and in it was a precious stone, and it was placed on David's head. He also brought out the spoil of the city, a very great amount. He brought out the people who were in it and set them to work with saws and iron picks and axes. Thus David did to all the cities of the Ammonites. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. After this, war broke out with the Philistines at Gezer, and Sibekai the Hushathite killed Sipai, who was one of the descendants of the giants, and the Philistines were subdued. Again, there was war with the Philistines, and Elhanan, son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Again, there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great size who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number. He also was descended from the giants. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These were descended from the giants in Gath. They fell by the hand of David and his servants. Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to count the people of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the army, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring me a report, so that I may know their number." But Joab said, "May the Lord increase the number of his people 100-fold. Are they not, my lord the king, all of them my lord's servants? Why then should my lord require this? Why should he bring guilt on Israel?" But the king's word prevailed against Joab. So Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came back to Jerusalem. Joab gave the total count of the people to David. In all Israel, there were 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and in Judah, 470,000 who drew the sword. But he did not include Levi and Benjamin in the numbering, for the king's command was abhorrent to Joab. But God was displeased with this thing, and he struck Israel. David said to God, "I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing. But now, please remove the guilt of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." The Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and say to David, 'Thus says the Lord, 3 things I offer you. Choose one of them, so that I may do it to you.'" So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, take your choice, either 3 years of famine or 3 months of devastation by your foes, while the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, pestilence on the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now decide what answer I shall return to the one who sent me." Then David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is very great, but let me not fall into human hands." So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel, and 70,000 persons fell in Israel. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. But when he was about to destroy it, the Lord took note and relented concerning the calamity. He said to the destroying angel, "Enough, stay your hand." The angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, and in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders clothed in sackcloth fell on their faces. And David said to God, "Was it not I who gave the command to count the people? It is I who have sinned and done very wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord my God, be against me and against my father's house, but do not let your people be plagued." And the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to tell David that he should go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up following Gad's instructions, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Ornan turned and saw the king, and while his four sons who were with him hid themselves, Ornan continued to thresh wheat. As David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David. He went out from the threshing floor and prostrated himself before David with his face to the ground. David said to Ornan, "Give me the site of the threshing floor that I may build on it an altar to the Lord. Give it to me at its full price, so that the plague may be averted from the people." Then Ornan said to David, "Take it, and let my lord the king do what seems good to him. See, I present the oxen for burnt offerings and the threshing sledges for the wood and the wheat for a grain offering. I give it all." But King David said to Ornan, "No, but I will buy them for the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, nor offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David paid Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the site. David built there an altar to the Lord and presented burnt offerings and offerings of well-being. He called upon the Lord, and he answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. Then the Lord commanded the angel, and he put his sword back into its sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he made his sacrifices there. For the tabernacle of the Lord that Moses had made in the wilderness and the altar of burnt offering were at that time in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God because he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Romans 2:25-3:8. Circumcision, indeed, is of value if you obey the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So, if the uncircumcised keep the requirements of the law, will not their uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then the physically uncircumcised person who keeps the law will judge you who, though having the written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law. For a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision something external and physical. Rather, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not the written code. Such a person receives praise not from humans, but from God. Then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way. For in the first place, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Although every human is a liar, let God be proved true, as it is written, so that you may be justified in your words, and you will prevail when you go to trial. But if our injustice serves to confirm the justice of God, what shall we say? that God is unjust to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way. By no means. For then how could God judge the world? But if through my falsehood, God's truthfulness abounds to his glory, why am I still being judged as a sinner? And why not say, as some people slander us by saying that we say, let us do evil so that good may come? Their judgment is deserved. Psalm 11. Song of trust in God to the leader of David. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to me, flee like a bird to the mountains? For look, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his gaze examines humankind. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and his soul hates the lover of violence. On the wicked he will rain coals of fire and sulfur. A scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Proverbs 19, 10 through 12. It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury, much less for a slave to rule over princes. Those with good sense are slow to anger, and it is their glory to overlook an offense. A king's anger is like the growling of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. Okay, so we're working our way through First Chronicles, and we are traveling along with the reign of King David. And it's familiar because we've covered this story in the books of Samuel and Kings. But we're kind of moving through it again, looking back at it from the future, and it gives us a chance to kind of review and go deeper in it. So in today's reading, David bought a plot of land and built an altar to God. And the land belonged to a man named Ornan, who offered to give David everything that he needed for this altar and supply for the sacrifice, even the land. And we heard King David respond, no, I want to buy it for what it's worth, like for the full price. I'm not going to take what's yours and give it to God. I'm not going to give God something that costs me nothing. There's a posture of heart there. And that is where it becomes the mirror into our souls. Are we offering God what costs us nothing in our time? In our treasure, in our talents? Or are we offering what costs us something? All that we are, all that we have to him. And in Romans, and we're getting to know Paul's tone, we talked about that yesterday, he's pretty direct. So Paul is addressing some questions that have arisen out of distortions about his message, what people are saying he's saying about grace. So there's a couple of arguments. The first one is that sin has a value because it ultimately reveals the righteousness of God when it's contrasted. From Romans, the argument goes like this: our sinfulness serves a good purpose because it helps people see how righteous God is. So isn't it unfair for God to punish us? And then the second argument is basically the more that we sin, the better that it is. The more dishonest I am, the more truthful God, the more truth of God is revealed by contrast. So these are common kinds of things. Like we can hear them like we're saying them right now and see very clearly. But basically what we're talking about is something that we do. The end justifies the means. Paul is renouncing that idea completely. And if we're ever going to be true, we have to renounce those concepts completely. It is unthinkable to us that God is not fair or just. But God's mercy is not a license to destroy people through our sin. Quite the contrary, if we are going to claim the name of Jesus. Then Proverbs also gives us some things to think about. People who are sensible, they can control their anger, right? So they can manage their temper. And they earn honor. They are respected for doing that and being able to overlook wrongs instead of retaliating with vengeance and revenge. So there's so much truth there, isn't it? The inability to overlook wrongs, that usually is like the fuse that gets lit for us losing our crap, right? Like losing our temper. So we should pay attention to this because it actually applies to our daily life. And we feel like we're about to lose it. And man, we all gotta talk. I gotta talk to myself. We all have to own this. When we're in that moment where we're triggered and about to lose it, it is really hard to pause. But that can be practiced and cultivated. And consider what patience in the situation might bring. Which doesn't mean that we leave matters unaddressed. It means that we might need to take a time out. That's something Jill and I have learned very much in doing therapy over the years. Take a time out, because once your heart rate gets to a certain point, once your prefrontal cortex starts going offline and you get to instinct, nothing good is going to happen. Take a time out, but not a time out of avoidance, a time out to regulate and then address the matter. That is fundamentally the underpinning of what's being said here. So let's take the counsel of the Proverbs. Plenty of angles to look at ourselves from today. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into those. Are we just giving you things that really have no sacrifice, that cost us nothing? Are we rationalizing and justifying things that we should not be participating in by thinking that the ends justifies the means? And are we just losing it and reacting and bringing more damage when maybe taking a time out is the appropriate move? Holy Spirit, come. We invite you into all of these things because they are all centered in our actual lived experience. And there is wisdom for us here. So come, lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are home base. they are aware to get connected and be connected in the most comprehensive way that we have right now, even though that is going to be dramatically expanding. Be familiar. Stay connected. Be connected to what's going on around here. Check out the community section. That's where the prayer wall lives. That is a connection point just within the Global Campfire community here. A resource that is always on. It's never off. If the bottom falls out of our lives, there's always a place to reach. And there is always a place to reach back with encouragement and prayer for our brothers and sisters as we journey together in community. The community section is also where to find social media links that that lead to the platforms that Daily Eddie Bible participates in. Following along and being connected in that way, if you're in those spaces, can connect you to what's going on around here and words of encouragement and behind the scenes and just stuff as we journey through life together. So be familiar with that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, profound gratitude. And Jill and I thank you from the depths, of our heart. We remain in awe that it's 20 years now every day. And we thank you for the ability and opportunity to be in community together as we take the journey. And so thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, no matter where you are in the world, you can hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB family. My name is Eddie C. And I just want to say that I'm grateful for you guys. I want to ask for prayer for healing from my past. I want to thank all those who pray for me. I got a great job now. I've been there a month and a half, and now I'm asking for prayer for a place to live. Thank you guys for all your prayers and everything. God bless you guys, and thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hello, my dear DAB family. I called a few weeks ago. You might remember that I said that I knew who you were, but you have never heard my voice. Just out of prison. And I thank God so much for the DAB family, Brian Harding. Now I'm asking for prayer. I'm out, doing well, but there are so many obstacles that keep preventing me to move forward. The stigma of being a felon is real. I have been turned down for apartments. I'm looking to get into a CDL school, all to be turned down. So DAB family, I'm asking for your prayers to help guide me and to provide for these needed resources, a home and a job, so that I can transition into life as God intended. Thank you, DAB family. You mean the world to me. By the way, I go by Be Wise Guy in Arizona. God bless you all.
Hi, y'all. I'm praying for Anonymous in California tonight. I am listening to the community prayer on Saturday night with a full moon rising. It's absolutely gorgeous. out here in the country, and I just want to lift you up, sir. I've been praying with you for a long time, with all the people that you are praying for, but I just felt tonight after hearing your prayer that you need prayer. So, Father God, I lift up Anonymous in California. I know his burden is heavy with his marriage and, Jesus, all the things he's got going on, which you're the only one who really knows and sees and cares. I'm just asking you, God, to touch him. Touch him, Father, with the dunamis power that only you can give. The completion, the confidence, the Holy Spirit-filled answers to the questions and the circumstances that are going on in his life. I pray for him, Lord, that as he continues to pray for others, may you empower him to hear your voice, to seek your face, to rest in your presence, O God. Father, I pray for Anonymous in California. He's been faithful. He's been true to lifting up every dabber that has a prayer. And right now he needs prayer. So may we rally around your throne, Lord, and lift him up to you. You're so awesome, God, and we praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, we are grateful for the gift of a new day. Make us always appreciative of all good things that you have given us, beginning with the little and ordinary things around us. Grant us an open heart and a humble spirit. Keep us in your loving care and sustain us in all we do. Make us faithful and productive today. May everything we do today be for your glory and for the salvation of our souls. Protect us from every evil and every danger today. Guide us along the path of humility, to serve without seeking recognition, and to give without expecting anything in return. May we always be mindful of the needs of those around us and strive to uplift and support them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.